You are now listening to the iScript of Soul Shadows 2, Uncle Harry, by Stephen Dilworth. Fade in. Interior, the alcove. Tanis fidgets in her wooden chair as she pokes and prods at something unseen in her lap. She glances up to us. Frustration mars her features. Tanis. Some things be so dark, so mysterious. Not even Tanis be understanding them. Tanis holds up the object, a universal remote. So what Tanis supposed to be doing with something like this? She regards the device with disdain and caution. Be making no mistake, this box got power. Every house got itself a dark Medusa. Freeze you to stone right where you sit. And this be its kindred. She lifts the remote, aims it directly at us. But it do carry a tale, an ugly tale, about an ugly man. Tanis punches one of the buttons, and the screen fills with a burst of static. Tanis, over the static. And this tale be called Uncle Harry. Super, Uncle Harry. Interior, Scott and Sarah's house. Den, day. The room is trashed. It looks like a war zone. Scott, 38, tall, ordinary-looking with thinning hair, his clothes ripped and rumpled, sweating profusely and breathing hard, leans against a wall. He holds a steak knife, ready to slash as Sarah, 34, Scott's wife, who is petite with coal-black hair and glasses, clothes ripped and rumpled, breathing hard and sweating profusely, stands in front of him with a meat tenderizer held above her head, ready to pound. The telephone rings in the background, and the image freezes. Another burst of static. Interior, alcove. With a stern frown, Tanis repeatedly beats the remote against her palm. Tanis, that ain't no beginning to this tale, you electric devil. With a sigh, she aims the remote and tries once more. And this tale be called Uncle Harry. She punches another button, more static, and another. Interior, funeral home, night. Scott and Sarah hold hands and walk close as they enter the room with the placard which reads, Harry Mitchell blank, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. They both wear respectable clothes, but not the basic black you might expect for calling hours. The room is full of people. Scott and Sarah stop and look at each other in astonishment. They lean close to talk, so others can't hear as they move further into the room. Sarah, I can't believe your uncle had this many friends. Scott, he didn't. Well, he knew pretty much everyone in town. Mostly they were his drinking buddies at the Eagles Club, but I wouldn't really say they were real friends. So why are they all here? They must think he left them something. Scott spots his cousins up front. Rhonda, 43, is a matronly woman with conservative black clothes and conservative hair. She has a warm smile and greets people in a very classic fashion beside her sister, Gina, 40, who also wears black, although it's a silky, form-fitting number more suited for a casino than a funeral home. Her blonde hair is more stylish, and she greets people more like a game show hostess, schmoozing and hugging. Scott gives them a small wave. Scott, poor Rhonda always gets stuck being in charge of this stuff. Sarah, but your uncle didn't have any money, really, and that crap he called his collection isn't worth anything. He liked to make everyone think it was. They reach Rhonda and Gina as an older couple talks with Rhonda. They are Myra and Les Gordon. Their clothes and manner indicate that they are not an affluent pair. Myra, your uncle was such a sweet man. Rhonda, he was, thank you. Les, give you the shirt off his back, Harry would. Rhonda, he sure would, wouldn't he? Thank you so much for coming. The couple moves off and pauses by the casket when they move out of hearing range. Les, and he'd stab you as soon as he turned away to get his shirt back. Myra, damn right. He just better have remembered us in his will. Gina gives Scott and Sarah a huge, flourishy hug. They reluctantly acquiesce. Rhonda gives them each a nice conservative hug. Scott's eyes follow the receding couple. Scott, I see all of Harry's old drinking buddies are here. Rhonda, oh yeah. Gina, they're coming out of the woodwork. Another couple walks up and gives Rhonda and Gina the oily business about what a great man their uncle was and how much they loved his beautiful collection of antiques. Rhonda thanks them, then crinkles her nose up as they walk away. Rhonda, rum. Sarah, this is just awful. I don't know which is worse, these people or your uncle. Scott, well, it's his own fault, in a way. Flashback to Interior Eagles Club Bar, day. The bar is quite full. Scott, 13, looks very uncomfortable sitting next to a younger Uncle Harry, 48. Scott is sipping a Coke, and Harry brandishes a very large mixed drink. Younger versions of Myra and Lee sit across the bar from them. Harry, and my nephew and I are now heading out to find more pieces of silver to complete that set. Myra, sounds expensive, Harry. Harry, nothing's too expensive when it comes to my collection, my dear. Scott, can we go now? Harry, Not yet, son. I need more nourishment before we continue our journey. Garçon, another Long Island iced tea, my good man. The bartender sets about making a new drink. Harry. And get my friends, Sir Lee and Miss Meyer, one more on me as well. Les. Why, thank you, Harry. Scott sighs and sips his drink. Return to present. Sarah. Taking you to bars when you were 13. Sweet. Gina. He never took me to the bar until I was old enough to drink with him. Rhonda rolls her eyes and motions to Scott and Sarah. Rhonda. Come on up to see Harry. They did a wonderful job. He doesn't look a day over 40. Sarah motions a strong no way. Sarah. Not me, thank you. This is as far as I go. Staring at people in their coffin is just ghoulish. Scott and Sarah move up to the casket. Uncle Harry, 73, lies in the casket. He looks totally at peace, and heavily but expertly made up. Scott sighs and fidgets a bit. Rhonda. He looks at peace, doesn't he? Scott. I guess so. You know, I haven't talked to him in almost 2 years, Rhonda. I know, Scott. It's been almost a year for me. Gina saw him last about 3 months ago, before she gave up. That last visit was it. Flashback to interior. Uncle Harry's apartment. Night. Uncle Harry leads Scott and Sarah from the kitchen of his apartment into the living room area. He's smoking and picks up his universal remote as he sits in his chair. Scott and Sarah sit close by each other on his small couch. Sarah sits on the side, away from Harry. Her face shows that the smoke annoys her. Harry turns on the news, using his universal remote. Harry, sure you kids didn't mind the ravioli being burnt? Scott sighs. No, Uncle Harry, it was fine. Uncle Harry watches the television for a few moments, then turns on them and points the remote right at Scott's face menacingly. Just look at the state of this apartment. It looks fine, Uncle Harry. It looks like shit. That fat-ass lazy cousin of yours. Rhonda works full-time and can only come once a week, Uncle Harry. Mph. She's a lazy good-for-nothing, just like that father of yours, letting that house of his rot down around your mother's ears. Harry goes back to watching the television, as though nothing had been said. Sarah squirms visibly on the couch next to Scott. She looks at her watch and whispers something into Scott's ear. Scott. Well, we have to be going, Uncle Harry. Thanks for dinner. Harry waves the remote more menacingly. Harry. Just what was she whispering in your ear? Nothing, Uncle Harry. She was just reminding me that we need to stop at her mom's house, and I need to go to bed because I have to go into work very early in the morning. Harry explodes, and the remote becomes almost like a blurring lightsaber. Well, of all the nerve, of all the rude nerve, whispering like some little child behind my back. Sarah is near tears. Scott. Uncle Harry, please. Well, apparently your mother never taught you about manners, young lady. And Scott would have to work himself to death if you get off your fat rump and get a job to help out. Sarah bursts into tears and heads for the door. She stops at the door and turns on Harry. Sarah. You're a horrible, fat old man. She runs out. Harry. Well, I never. You kids today. Scott. Just shut the hell up, Harry. Scott runs out after Sarah. Return to present. Scott. We never went back. This is the first time I've seen him since then. Rhonda. He ran us all off, even his own sister. Scott moves up to the casket and peers inside. Scott. Where is your mom? Rhonda. Oh, her friend Clydeen took her home. It was getting near dark. Mom hates to drive in the dark, even when she's not the one driving. What are you looking for? Scott. That damn remote. I thought he'd be buried with it. Rhonda chuckles. Rhonda. No, but you'd think so. We all know what it's like to have that damn thing pointed in our face. When they found him dead in his chair, it was still in his hand. I guess they had to pry it out. Scott. Sarah and I better get going. The more I think about him, the madder I get. Folks might not like it if I punch the corpse. Rhonda gives him a big hug. Rhonda. It's okay, kiddo. See you at the cemetery in the morning? Yeah, we'll be there. Exterior. Cemetery. Day. Montage. 1. A large crowd of people surrounds Uncle Harry's grave. Scott, Sarah, Rhonda, Gina, and their mom, Miriam, 73, stand the closest. The casket is suspended above the opening in traditional fashion, as Reverend Singletary, 52, stands with an open Bible, preparing to speak. Reverend Singletary. We gather here today to pay our final respects to Harry Mitchell Blank. Scott leans close to Sarah and whispers, Harry never showed anyone respect. Sarah elbows him. Shh. 2. Scott fidgets. Reverend Singletary. We knew Harry to be a kind and generous soul. Scott clears his throat and gets another jab from Sarah. Reverend Singletary hears this and gives a slightly mischievous grin. Reverend Singletary. Although, at times, he could be a bit difficult to deal with, and many feared the point of his remote. This brings a polite chuckle from the whole crowd. 3. The Reverend has raised his hand for the benediction. Reverend Singletary. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes. Scott leans in again. Funk to funky. Sarah stifles a giggle. No more, darn it. and montage. Scott, Rhonda, Gina, and Miriam each take turns shaking hands with the Reverend. Sarah just stands back. Then they head back towards their cars. Scott and Sarah hold hands. Rhonda walks with her arm around Miriam. They both wipe their eyes. Gina lags behind, her arms folded about herself and her head is down. Scott, man, that was excruciating. Rhonda, it was good to see you hold back your emotions, Scott. Sarah, yes, you almost behaved. Scott, well, for Christ's sake, even Reverend Singletary couldn't help but get a jab in. So what does that tell you? They all chuckle, except Gina and Miriam. She stops and faces Scott. Miriam, listen, we all know your uncle could be a jackass, Scott, but for all he was still my brother, and I love him. Scott moves to Miriam and gives her a big hug. She sobs on his shoulder. Scott, oh, Miriam, I know. I know. He holds her until she calms down. Scott, okay, Rhonda, what do we do next? Rhonda shrugs. Don't ask me. Ask Miss Executor. Rhonda turns to Gina, who is still hugging herself closely, so they all turn to her. Scott, Gina? Gina, it wasn't my idea to be made Executor. I had no idea he'd done that. Scott, doesn't matter to me, but what do we do next? Gina, could y'all come back to Uncle Harry's apartment for a while? Scott, sure, yeah, we'll meet you there. Interior, Scott and Sarah's car. Scott maneuvers the car down a beautiful tree-shaded street. Scott, holy mackerel, I can't believe Rhonda's not the executor. Gina can't handle anything like this. Sarah, Rhonda probably was the executor at one point. Yeah, until Harry got pissed at her for not coming around anymore. I could see him doing that. Gina was his drinking buddy. He was a spiteful old man, I'll tell you right now. I hope he didn't leave us any of his smelly old shit. Scott pulls the car into the parking lot of the Wadsworth Senior Haven apartment building. Scott, well, let's just humor Gina here, okay? She damn well knows she's in over her head. You know Rhonda will really wind up handling all of it for her. All right, but please, let's go home as soon as we can. 15 minutes, I promise. Interior, hallway Senior Haven Apartments. Later. Gina, Rhonda, Sarah, and Scott exit a storage room carrying boxes and head down the hall. Sarah, 15 minutes, huh? Scott, I'm sorry, honey, but we couldn't just leave them to do all this work. They all enter the door of Interior, Uncle Harry's apartment. The apartment is full of boxes, bags, piles of books and clothes. Miriam sits on the sofa. She's visibly agitated and wrings her hands. Miriam, you kids okay with all that? Rhonda, yes, Mom, we're okay. Scott sits down his box. Scott, that's the last of it. Gina sits down her box and just stands there. Everyone looks at her. Rhonda, oh, for heaven's sake, G, tell him. Gina, well, it seems Uncle Harry left everything he has to me. Scott, everything? Gina looks miserable. Gina, everything. Scott, what the hell are you going to do with it all? Gina, no idea. That's why I asked you guys here. Please, take a look around and see if there's anything you want to take home. Sarah, well, there isn't any. Scott, sure, we'll take a look around. Off her piercing stare. Honey, why don't you go see if there are any videotapes you might want, and I'll take a look around here, okay? Sarah leaves the room, robot-like. Scott scans the various boxes. Miriam, your uncle had such beautiful glassware, Scott. I'm certain there must be something you and Sarah could use. Scott, oh boy, Aunt Miriam, Sarah would string me up if I brought home a bunch of dust collectors. Gina, please, take whatever you can, Scott. Scott, well, I've always loved the big 4-slice toaster of his. Gina, it's yours. Scott, and hey! Scott leans over behind a box right in front of Uncle Harry's favorite chair. He stands up, holding the universal remote. Scott, now this is what I want. The perfect memento. Sarah, aw, Jesus, no, Scott. Sarah holds 2 videotape boxes at the end of the room. Rhonda, Scott, you don't want that damn thing. Sarah, listen to her, Scott. Scott, oh, come on, honey, we need a new remote, and it'll be a kick. Uncle Harry always said we just liked pushing his buttons. Now's our chance to do it for real. Sarah, I don't know why I put up with you. Let's go home. Gina, don't forget your toaster. Interior, Scott and Sarah's car. Scott turns on the headlights and pulls out of the parking lot. Sarah looks out her window. Scott, you're not really mad, are you? Well, yeah, I am. I told you I didn't want any of that shit, and then I was just trying to help Gina. You go and pick up that god-awful remote. It's just a remote control. I think it's funny. Sarah gives him an imploring look. Sarah, it's not funny, Scott. It's creepy. It makes me feel creepy. Please promise you'll throw it away. It's just a remote, honey. She grabs his hand, which is holding the remote. Sarah, please? All right, if it means that much, I'll throw it away as soon as we get home. She leans over and kisses his cheek. Thanks. Now can we roll down the window some? This junk still smells like cigarette smoke. Interior, Scott and Sarah's house, morning. Scott sneaks into the kitchen. He roots around in the trash can, takes out the remote, tiptoes into the living room. He gingerly turns on the TV, manually turning the sound to zero, and sets about programming the remote. Just as he is successful and starts to flip through the channels, Sarah, off screen, "What the hell are you doing?" Scott instantly shuts the TV off, then tries feebly to get the remote out of sight, and winds up just fumbling with it until it drops on the floor. Scott, "I just wanted to see if it still worked." Sarah rubs her eyes at the heels of her hands. She's not fully awake yet. "Come on, Scott, you promised. You even threw it in the trash." "I know, I know. It's just, I don't know what it is."
"It's creepy."
"Yeah, kinda. But I, and smelly." "I'll clean it off. Sanitize it." "I don't know why I want it. It's just, I don't know, the last thing Uncle Harry pointed at us?" Scott moves over to her and gives her a hug.
"Held.
I can't explain it, honey. I know Uncle Harry treated us like shit, but I didn't always hate him. When I was a kid, he was kind of my buddy. Sure, he took you out drinking to all the best joints." He stands back and cradles her face in his hands and looks her straight in the eye. "I know it doesn't make sense, honey, but I really want to keep this remote to remember Uncle Harry. It makes my skin crawl. He's dead now, honey. He can't hurt us anymore. And this remote is just a hunk of plastic. That's all. It can't hurt us either." Sarah takes a deep breath and gives him a level, stern look. Scott pulls his very best puppy dog face.
"Please?"
Sarah closes her eyes and shudders.
"Okay.
Yes. But if that thing doesn't work perfectly, or even one button goes on the fritz, I will personally break it into 1,000 pieces and bury it in the backyard."
"What could be more fair than that?"
"It works perfectly. I tried it out."
"I saw. That's why we're standing here."
"Yeah, right. Here, try it out while I go get showered for Miriam's lunch. The morning show is on." He nudges her over to the Lazy Boy, then starts to move out of the room in a quick, nervous fashion. Scott,
"Go on, you'll see it's fine. Saves us $10 because we don't have to buy a new one now."
"I'll be out in 10 minutes. Sarah stares down at the remote, arms crossed tightly around herself. She looks at the ceiling, silently imploring to the heavens, then back down at the remote. She nudges it with her foot, and the TV turns on, to the morning show. Sarah jumps and lifts her foot to stomp on the remote. She stops, slowly picks it up, and sits in the chair. She stares blankly at the screen. Show host, filtered. "Good morning, and welcome to the morning show, Sunday, April 25th edition." Interior, bathroom. Scott leans in to set the water temperature for his shower. Scott,
"Never hurts to save $10.
Interior, living room. Sarah yells to be heard over Scott's shower. Sarah,
"Hey, I think this remote's messed up."
Show host, filtered, in Scott's voice.
"Well, it wouldn't hurt if you got a job, young lady. Then $10 wouldn't mean so much."
Interior, bathroom. Scott is in the shower as pounding filters through the noise of the water. He realizes it's the door and leans out. Sarah is saying something from the hallway, but it can't be made out over the shower. Scott shuts the water off, quick wraps a towel around his waist, slip slides to the door on his still wet feet, and cracks it open. Scott,
"Huh? What?"
Sarah,
"What did you just say?"
He pushes some soap out of his eye. Scott,
"I didn't say anything. I was just in the shower." "Bullshit! What did you just say about $10?
"Well, I said it's always good to save $10, but that was before I got in the shower."
"Bullshit!"
And she stomps away from the door. Interior, kitchen. Scott comes in, hair still wet, socks half on, trying to tuck in his shirt. Sarah stands at the counter, eating a sandwich. Scott,
"Honey, what happened?"
She takes a vicious bite of her sandwich. Scott,
"What'd I do, Sarah? I was just taking a shower."
She turns her back to him. Sarah,
"Go play with your remote."
Scott stands there in the classic implore stance, hands out. Scott,
"I..."
She points out of the room. Interior, living room. Scott rubs his head in frustration as he enters the room. He locates the remote, plops down on the Lazy Boy, and changes the channel to some sports show. Sports commentator, filtered. "And that was the story last night, as LeBron James pours in 36 points to carry the Cavs to another huge win." He can't take it anymore. Scott,
"I was just taking a shower."
Sports commentator, filtered, in Sarah's voice.
"And you still look like hell."
Interior, kitchen. Scott comes stomping in. Scott,
"What the hell's that supposed to mean?"
Sarah leans on the counter, crying. She snaps her head up. Sarah,
"What's what supposed to mean?"
"Don't give me that shit."
"Give you that shit? Get the hell away from me."
She pushes past him and heads for the living room, over her shoulder. Sarah,
"Just go to your aunt's house and leave me alone."
Interior, hallway. Scott stalks past the living room, stares at Sarah sitting in the Lazy Boy, remote in hand. Then he stomps into the bedroom and slams the door. Interior, living room. Sarah watches the morning show. Scott can be heard slamming and throwing things around in the bedroom. Scott, off screen.
"Where the hell are my shoes?"
Sarah,
I'm not your maid. Show host, in Scott's voice. Well, if you get off your lazy ass and clean once in a while, maybe we could find things. Interior, bedroom. Scott leans behind the bed as Sarah slams through the door and starts pounding him with her fists. Sarah, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Scott attempts without success to dodge the blows. Scott, what the? He finally shoves her on the bed and runs out. Fuck! Interior, living room. Scott runs into the room and yells as he kicks the couch. Shit, shit, shit! He picks up the remote and throws it on the lazy boy. The TV switches to the sports show. Scott, what the hell is going on here? Sports commentator, in Sarah's voice. Maybe if you weren't so damn dumb, you could figure it out. Scott, that's it. He rushes from the room. Interior, Miriam's house. Day. Rhonda, Gina, and Gina's boyfriend, John, 35, sit in the living room watching TV. Miriam comes in, wiping her hands nervously on a dish towel. Miriam, I'm worried about Scott and Sarah. Rhonda, oh, Mom, those lovebirds? They're probably in the middle of a tickling contest. Miriam, I don't know. They're always on time. I'm going to call them. Interior, Scott and Sarah's house. Den, day. Scott, his clothes ripped and rumpled, sweating profusely and breathing hard, leans against a wall. He holds a steak knife, ready to slash, as Sarah, her clothes ripped and rumpled, breathing hard and sweating profusely, stands in front of him with a meat tenderizer held above her head, ready to pound. The telephone rings in the background. Interior, Miriam's house. Day. Miriam stands there listening to the phone ring and ring. She hangs it up. Miriam, no answer. Rhonda, they're probably on their way here. John gives Gina a playful squeeze. John, maybe they, got busy and forgot. Gina elbows him. Gina, oh, John. Miriam, I don't know. It just seems strange. Rhonda, Mom, your problem is you worry too much. Interior, Scott and Sarah's house. Den, day. Scott and Sarah's shadows cast on the wall as they attack each other. Vicious slashes and the dull pound of a meat tenderizer on flesh mix with grunts, groans, and screams as blood spatters on the wall. Interior, living room. The remote falls from the lazy boy. The TV switches to a rerun of Happy Days. The Happy Days theme song plays across the background massacre. Interior, Scott and Sarah's house. Later, Rhonda, Miriam, Gina, and John come into the house through the front door. The house is now straightened up, with things in boxes. Miriam shakes terribly. Rhonda puts an arm around her. Miriam, I still can't believe it. Rhonda, none of us can, Mom. None of us can. John walks with his arm around Gina into the living room. Gina tries to hold back tears. John, can't believe you and Rhonda got all this packed up. Rhonda, I got it all packed up. Rhonda and Miriam enter the living room. Gina, I just couldn't. John, it's okay, hon. Hey, look here. John reaches down into a box and comes up with the remote. John, isn't this the infamous remote? You guys mind if I take this? On the remote, in John's hand, he punches a button. Static. Fuzzy fade to the remote, now in Tannis's hand. Tannis, you got to be careful when you go punching buttons. Wider. Tannis randomly pokes at buttons as she speaks, disregarding her own sage advice. 'Cause nobody's so beautiful, they ain't got some ugly inside, and you never be knowing what might be bringing it out. Growing bored with the device, she now looks up and fixes us with her sly smile. And this ugly devil box, well, to Tannis, it'd be good for only one thing. She points the remote to us once more and clicks. With a small electric pop, the screen suddenly goes dark like an ancient Philco as the collapsing edges of the screen form a dark, shrinking circle around Tannis. It is like tunnel vision until only a single point of light remains in the center of the screen. Tannis, voiceover. And that be killin' de Medusa, and givin' Tannis some peace. And then even this small pinprick of light winks out of existence, and there is only darkness, and a blissful, perfect silence for Tannis. This concludes the iScript of Soul Shadows 2, Uncle Harry, by Stephen Dilworth. Feel free to visit us at www.iScript.com.
Our privacy policy strictly forbids the resale or transfer of any iScript product that you obtain a limited license to by downloading the script for your personal use. We have agreed with all parties that provide availability of scripted material that we will cooperate to the fullest extent allowed by law to prosecute any unauthorized user of an iScript product.